But God has been so good and so gracious to us in the fact that he has given us his word. So we don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to speculate about what he wants or what is going to go on. All we got to do, as somebody said, is to take a look in the book. Take a new look in the old book. Take a new look in God's word. Take the inward look, the outward look, the upward look from the old, old book. Take a new look at the old book. Take a new look at God's word.
Hello and welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of The Gift of Prophecy. So please open your Bible to the book of Romans, 12th chapter and 6th verse, as we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Gift of Prophecy.
Your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Last week we started a series on the spiritual gifts. And we're talking about using your spiritual gifts on the battlefield for the Lord. That God, and we spent a lot of time last week setting up this message to talk about the fact that everybody has a spiritual gift. It doesn't make any difference who you are, that if you are a child of God, one of the things that God has given you is a gift to be able to serve him. And now this week, we want to get specifically into the different gifts. And as I pointed out last week, if you still have your handout from last week, we gave that overview and said that there were gifts spoken of in Romans chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and in Ephesians 4, I believe it is. And those are the three main passages that speak about spiritual gifts. And we talked about performing gifts, we talked about perceiving gifts, and we talked about power gifts. And we said that the perceiving gifts were the gift of knowledge and wisdom and faith, and there was a couple others there. And then we talked about the power gifts, doing miracles and speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues and apostles. So, you know, there are a host of spiritual gifts that are found in the New Testament. But for this specific series, we want to focus on the gifts in Romans chapter 12. And those are found in verses 6 through 8. And he says here, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with liberality. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And so these are the gifts that we are focusing on for this series, because more than maybe empowering you to do miracles, maybe more than empowering you to have some supernatural ability to do something, we want to empower the people of God to serve God. And that if in your service unto God, he actually endues you with ability to do greater things, then we say to God be the glory. But our focus for this series are these gifts right here. And today we are talking about the gift of prophecy, the gift of prophecy. Man, if you'll pull out your notes today, we will pretty much be going through the notes. And like I said, we're going to do a lot of teaching during this time. So I pray that you would put on your teaching hats as we teach from the scripture, the word of God on this. And so the first thing that we want to talk about is the meaning of this gift. What is the meaning of this gift? Well, this gift is the divine empowerment to proclaim and or apply the word of God in a timely and bold manner for the purpose of conviction and exhortation. That's what this gift means. Now, as we think about the prophetic office in the Old Testament, and I want you to travel back just for a moment back to the Old Testament. All right, you think about the prophetic office. They had a twofold function. The first function was to foretell the future. And the second function of the prophet was to foretell or proclaim the word of God. So that was the nature of what the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all the prophets in the Old Testament, they had, many of them had a twofold function, to foretell, to be able to look into the future, and also to foretell, and that is to proclaim the word. All right, now as we move over into the New Testament, we see that the whole idea and aspect of foretelling the future and the prophet kind of dropped off. Okay, that you look at some of the New Testament prophets, especially one that we're going to look at today, John the Baptist. We never read where he was able to predict the future. And as we look at other apostles, we see that whole idea of future telling and saying what's going to happen down the road, that kind of dropped off of the whole idea of being a prophet. So by the time we get to the New Testament, the primary function of the prophet was to proclaim the word of God. That was the prophet's job. Now, you look at when even now that we've moved into the church, what do we have? We have the word of God. And so in the Old Testament, they needed prophets to be able to foretell the future. They needed someone to be able to look down the road and tell what was going to happen because they didn't have the word of God. But God has been so good and so gracious to us in the fact that he has given us his word. So we don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to speculate about what he wants or what is going to go on. All we got to do, as somebody said, is to take a look in the book. Take a new look in the old book. Take a new look in God's word. Take the inward look, the outward look, the upward look from the old, old book. Take a new look at the old book. Take a new look at God's word. God has given us his word so that by the time we even get to the church age, you know, we don't even need, per se, the prophet anymore. Why? Because we are all prophets to some degree. Because we are to do what? What does the prophet do? The prophet is the preacher. And the prophet gets the message by reading and studying the word of God. So, in a sense, I'm a prophet. As I stand here before you today, I'm a prophet. If you went to your Sunday school class today and your teacher stood up and expounded the word of God, your teacher was a prophet because that's what prophets do. Prophets study the word and prophets expound the word. Now, as we look at, and here's where I want to make a distinction, that there's a difference between the office of a prophet and the gift of prophecy. Okay? God calls people to preach. God calls people to preach the word of God, to be prophets in that sense. But then there's the gift of prophecy. And check this out. This is that spirit that God, when the Holy Spirit comes into the life of a person, the Holy Spirit brings gifts, and to some, he brings this gift of prophecy. And it's not necessarily that they can stand up and they can have this great oratory ability, or they have this ability to stand up and be able to proclaim the word of God, but they have, watch this now, and you miss this, you're going to miss the whole thing. They have the spirit of a prophet. They might not be a preacher, but they have the spirit of a prophet. And sometimes when we look at the gifts and we see people operating in ministry and they are operating out of their gift, many people come to the table with the gift of prophecy and they operate out of that spirit of prophecy. So you're going to understand a little bit more as we go through the lesson today. Who is the main character in the New Testament when we think about the prophet? It's John the Baptist. John, well, Jesus, of course, but from a human standpoint, it's John the Baptist. Now, if you'll turn your sheet over and just bear patience, be patient as I go through this, because I'm trying to set it up so we can get into what it is I really want to say. All right, John the Baptist. Let's look in biblical counseling, we call this a character study. Okay, we call this a character study. So let's look at a character study of John the Baptist. The man, the ministry, and the message. The man, the ministry, and the message. All right, a couple things we see about the man. He was the cousin of Jesus, okay? Or some people debate that and say that, well, Elizabeth and Mary really weren't cousins, but they were real close friends that, you know, almost like cousins. Well, whatever the case might be. You know, he came from two, you know, they came from ladies that were close together, and more than likely they were cousins. So Jesus and John the Baptist was cousins. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. That before Jesus came on the scene, you know, John the Baptist was the Ed McMahon of his day. You know, what was Ed McMahon's job? Ed McMahon's job was to introduce Johnny Carson. I'm dating myself now. Some of y'all might not know. I think Johnny Carson, Jay Leno, might have taken the place of Johnny Carson. All right, so bring us up to speed. But Ed McMahon would come out there every week, and Ed McMahon would stand out there before Johnny Carson came, and Ed McMahon would say, "And here's Johnny." Well, you know, that's what John the Baptist did. John the Baptist stood out there, and he prepared the way so that when Jesus came, John the Baptist said, "And here's Jesus." So he was the forerunner of Jesus. He prepared the way for Jesus. John the Baptist was also raised in the wilderness. He didn't grow up in the city. He didn't grow up in the nice, plush environment. John the Baptist was raised in the wilderness, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 80. He was a humble man. John the Baptist was very humble. He said that he wasn't even worthy to untie Jesus' shoes. And not only that, but John didn't have an ego problem, because John said when people were following him, John, when Jesus came on the scene, John the Baptist said that I must decrease and he must increase. All right, so he was a humble man. And then the last thing we see about John the Baptist is that he got his head cut off. And one of the reasons he got his head cut off was because he was a prophet. All right, and we're going to find out a little bit more about that as we go through the message today. His ministry, he was called in the wilderness. He preached in the wilderness. He was dressed in camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist, just like Elijah did. And he ate locusts and wild honey. That was his diet out there in the wilderness. The Old Testament said that Elijah would come again. And so the people were waiting for Elijah. A lot of the Jewish people today are still waiting for Elijah. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said when John the Baptist came, who came? Elijah. So John the Baptist actually was a representation of Elijah when they said that Elijah would come again. Probably one of the greatest things that John the Baptist did was that he baptized Jesus Christ. All right. And let me say this for those of you who are Baptists who want to poke your chest out and say that John the Baptist was the first Baptist. Okay, he wasn't. The Baptist denomination wasn't found until the 1700s, almost 1600 years after John the Baptist passed away. So, and actually, his name wasn't John the Baptist. That's what the scripture calls him, but he was actually John the Baptizer. Okay, so that's what his name is, John the Baptizer. So he wasn't, so I hate to bust some of y'all's bubbles, but John the Baptist was not the first Baptist. All right. He baptized Jesus. When he was in prison, he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one, or should we look for another?" All right, you know, he got a little skeptical. I guess being in prison will cause you to doubt some things. So he was getting a little concerned there, and he asked Jesus, "Are you the one, or should we look at another?" He told Herod that it was not lawful for him to marry his brother's wife. He got in Herod's face and said, "You know, you're not right. You shouldn't marry your brother's wife." And then Jesus, and this is amazing right here, Jesus hailed John as one of the greatest men who ever lived. Jesus said that John the Baptist was one of the greatest men who ever lived. So when we want to study this gift of prophecy, John the Baptist is the prototype that we look at to understand the prophetic gift. Let's look at his message. He was a voice crying in the wilderness, calling people to moral renewal baptism and messianic hope. He recognized Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He called the Pharisees snakes. He preached that God would bring judgment on religious folk. He told a materialistic society to share what they had with those in need. He told the greedy tax collectors not to take advantage of people. He told the soldiers not to use their power to hurt anyone, nor to bear false witness, and he told them to be content with the wages that they received. And then finally, he challenged a government official who was living in adultery. So let me ask you this. Do you begin to see the spirit of John the Baptist? It's not one of these tiptoe through the tulips, lovey-dovey, message-type, flowery-type individuals that will stand up and just try to love you into the kingdom, all right? John the Baptist came with a strong message. He came with a hard message. He told folk that were coming out to see him, he called them snakes. He came with the hammer. And you know what? There are some people in the body of Christ that have this same prophetic spirit in them. And like I said, it doesn't necessarily mean that they stand up and preach the word of God, but that's when the Holy Spirit came into you. That was the gift that the Spirit brought. He brought this gift of prophecy. And so now, you know, you're in the body of Christ and you have this prophetic spirit and you see everything black and white, all right? It's either right or wrong, good or bad. You know, you got this spirit, and we're going to show you some dangers with this spirit, and we're also going to show you some blessings that you have with this spirit. All right, first of all, let's look at people with the gift of prophecy. People with this gift, first of all, they can discern sin in the lives of others. All right, if you have the gift of prophecy, you can discern when somebody is in sin. And one reason that you can discern is because the Spirit of God is in you and the Word of God is in you. So the folk are living in sin that you can say, man, you know, there's something that's not right in this person's life. There's something that's a little bit off in this individual's life. They can discern sin in the life of others. They boldly confront those who are in sin. You ever see people in the body that, you know, they just go up and they can just challenge somebody about their sin, about something that's going wrong in their life. And you know what that is? That, once again, men, women, young, old, doesn't make any difference. If you got the spirit of prophecy in you, you know, there's a certain boldness. There's a certain thing that wells up in you when you see something in the body of Christ that's not right. You know, something that wells up in that makes you want to fight, that makes you want to just go and get that thing straightened out right now, where another person might just say, well, let's be calm, let's be patient, let's work through it. The person that has the spirit of prophecy, they're like, no, come on, we got to go deal with this right now. We can't wait. We got to jump on it right now. And you see that. You see that in the body of Christ. People with the gift of prophecy, they want to challenge people to repent from their sin. They say, man, you know, you need to get right, and you need to get right right now. You can't wait on this, but you got to go before the Lord. You got to confess. You got to get this thing straight right now. Another thing about the people with the gift of prophecy is that they bring a timely and accurate word for those who are seeking the will of God. That they understand. Look at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Speaking of John the Baptist, it says, then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized by him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. So, you know, he already knew what they were going to say before they said it. And maybe this was a conversation that had been going on at some point in time before this, but he already knew what was in their spirit. He said, and say not within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now look, see, here's where the prophet gets into trouble, all right, because the prophet don't play. All right, the prophet says, and now also the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So see, this is where the prophet, you know, the prophet is speaking for God. But here's where the prophet gets into trouble, because the prophet has a message a lot of times that people don't want to hear. He said, y'all, you guys are saying that you're Abraham's children? Well, let me tell you this, that the axe is laid at the root of the tree. God is going to cut you down right at the foundation, and then he's going to cast you into the fire because you're not good disciples and you're not good fruit for God. Now, how many people want to hear that said about you? And we don't want to hear that. And so the prophet has a way of getting under people's skin. But once again, that's the nature of the prophet. Not only that, but look at verse 10. It says, and the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? Now, you know, I don't see a lot of background that they gave him before asking this question. But they said, what shall we do then? And the prophet has a word. And the word is a strong word. He says, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath food, let him do the same. The prophet said, what shall we do? The prophet said, look, if you got two coats, give to somebody that's in need. If you got more than enough food to eat, then share it with somebody else. See, once again, who was he talking to? He was talking to a materialistic group of individuals. He was talking to a materialistic society. And now his message is cutting wrong. It's cutting them the wrong way because they don't want to hear it. Look, if we continue to read. There also came tax collectors to be baptized and said unto him, teacher, what shall we do? So once again, I don't see any background. And John says to them, he said, except act no more than that which is appointed to you. So what he's saying, when you take your taxes, don't be ripping people off. Because that's what the tax collectors were doing. They would collect the tax for Rome, but then they would put an extraordinary amount to tax the people extra. And John the Baptist said, look, stop doing that. Stop taxing people and ripping them off. Verse 14, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, what shall we do? And he said unto them, do no violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. So he had a word for the soldiers, too. So the prophet, the people with the spirit of prophecy, they have an accurate word for those who are seeking the will of the Lord. The prophet also points people to the way of righteousness. In John chapter 1, verse 29, John said, behold, about Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then he warns people about future judgment. That's the burden on his heart, man. You know, if you don't get right, God is going to judge you. If you don't straighten out your life, some bad things are going to happen to you. And so the prophet tries to warn people about future judgment. Now, what are some things about people with this gift? They desire three things. They desire to point out sin in the lives of other people. They desire to see people get right with God. And they desire to see people turn from their sin and turn to God right now. Very impatient. Now, this gift right here can be easily misunderstood by other people in the body. And see, here's where I just kind of sit back and I smile because I see certain things coming out of people and I see what their gift is. And I see that, you know, when people want to stand up and say, man, these folk at Bethany, they need to get right with God right now. And see, I understand, you know, where that's coming from. Or if I hear a comment, you know, those people at Bethany, yeah. Now you're at Bethany too. You're a member too, right? All right? It's that spirit of the prophet coming up. And so you got to, you know, a lot of times, you know, people think that the prophet, because the prophet is so passionate about right and wrong. The prophet is so...
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were enlightened by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Gift of Prophecy. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Gift of Prophecy, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request The Gift of Prophecy, or program number 080302. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request The Gift of Prophecy, or program number 080302. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.